Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Wednesday. First, with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Tuesday. Leighton wants to have a moan about building consents. Rachel wants to tell us how to stay mentally healthy. I'm sure she's an expert on that. Absolutely convinced. We've got a lady with a lot of Christmas trees up already, and Marcus has some maintenance issues to deal with that also are connected to the clock in Alexandra. But before any of that, more council business. How can you justify a 16.5% rates increase in Hamilton, Mr. Mayor?
What is the reason for the city's debt, and what is the position at the moment?
Look, we're not collecting enough revenue to pay for the everyday costs of running the city. And then on top of that, we've got huge growth pressures and infrastructure that needs putting in with the very quickly increasing population in Hamilton and the demand for sections and houses. So we have to bring the books into line. We have to balance the books so that then we can go forward in a sustainable place.
So the debt levels at the moment, Andrew, what are they like? They're pretty horrendous, are they?
No, they're not bad. Debt levels are under $400 million, so it's compared with, say, Auckland, it's small. But we are getting up near a debt cap, which is set by LGFA.
Right. Is it getting to the point where you're having to borrow just to run the city?
Yes, that's what's happening. Yeah, our debt's not increasing because of the huge amount of development that's happening and the development levy fees we collect on each section. But that money is ring-fenced purely and only to be used for infrastructure in those areas. So the money we're collecting for everyday costs, say, to pay the Powerball, we're borrowing for that, and that's what's wrong.
Okay.
So we've got to bring that into line.
And the 16.5% rate rise, that's the only answer, is it?
No, we can continue to borrow and continue to let our debt escalate, I'm not prepared to mortgage to
You can't do that, can you?
They must have something they can sell. There's a zoo. Can they not get rid of the zoo? Do they own the zoo? Some pretty expensive looking animals in there. That's where I'd start. Unless they don't own it, in which case they can't really sell it, but it's the Hamilton Zoo. Anyway, more council business, consents. Bit of a bugbear for Leighton, I think.
Radical changes to the house building process. By McConnell property director Nigel Richards. Says there has to be a fundamental change to the way we consent homes if the government's going to achieve its Kiwi Bill target. Well, it's not going to... Dear Nigel, it's not going to do it anyway. It simply isn't. But he's calling for the private sector to self-regulate on some aspects of the appropriate process. Now, I know that there are many, many people involved in the building industry who are listening right now. On the job, driving between jobs, on the way somewhere, whatever it might be. We know this from experience. There are a lot of you who are listening. So, McConnell Property Director Nigel Richards calling for the private sector to self-regulate on some aspects of the approvals process. Backlogs within Auckland Council's consenting department seriously affect affordability. And he's right. Absolutely correct. What was the first thing you thought of when you heard that? To me, it was, hang on, didn't we try that and we ended up with something called, what was it now, Leaky Homes? Are we any the wiser for it? I'd seriously question it. Are we any the wiser for it? We should be, but I doubt that we are. And if you're not very careful, there'll be another major building crisis because of it. Why? Because there are enough people around who will cause it, is the simplest way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it before, I would never build anything. It's just too hard. It would drive me crazy. Speaking of crazy people, apparently, according to Rachel, experts say one of the main things to help you stay sane is just going outside.
The culture of being inactive and getting outdoors had to begin very early on in childhood. The days of having that quarter-acre section out the back for the kids to rip around on, they were gone. You know, the kids can't get on the bike and nip around the cul-de-sac as well, like they used to. Get kids active and keep them moving. Get them away from screens and digital devices and get them out there and being active. And he said that would help. That would create the culture of moving. He said that's what we need to do as humans, move more. He also felt that our education system had become what he called feminized. He said boys need to be boys. And remember, it's young men who are most likely to take their own lives in this country. He said we need to attract more men into the teaching profession to help engage young boys and to encourage some of them to be more physically robust, get them more active, particularly with boys, he said. And while the focus still needed to be on the academic side of education, he felt there should be a greater emphasis on physical education in schools. Every day, kids should be moving or playing sport, he said, every day. As I said earlier, he wasn't suggesting the answer to all of our mental health issues was being more active, but he felt that part of the Western world's reliance now on prescription drugs had come about because we're stuck indoors and we've institutionalized ourselves. He said in many cases, the first thing a doctor should prescribe is a pair of walking shoes and not a trip to the chemist with a prescription.
It's amazing how often the quarter acre section is quoted in things like this. It was changing to metrics. Is that where everything started going wrong? We had to divide things up into square metres and hectares. Everybody just got a bit confused. Not sure about that, but this lady's got a lot of Christmas trees up already.
I was driving home and was aghast to hear that somebody isn't going to put a Christmas tree up. I have 10 already up, fully dressed.
No.
Shame.
I do, all over 6 foot. I have a multitude of small ones, but I can't believe people wouldn't have a tree up.
No. People are going to put them up, but just not until December.
10 of them?
I cannot believe it.
It is. You have to. It's absolutely beautiful. And at night when we turn all the other lights off, they vary from room to room. It is glorious. I just can't imagine not putting... But it takes me so long. It took me 8 days to get all the decorations up.
Are you really surprised you've got 10 of them?
No, we live in a smaller house. I've cut down.
Oh, my God.
How many did you used to have?
Oh, many, many. When the children were at home, probably 16, you know, full size.
Good Lord.
But it's a magnificent collection. Absolutely magnificent.
But they wouldn't be real.
Oh, of course not. We'd get hay fever.
But it's the whole smell of them that makes them so lovely.
No, it's the light. It's the light. And I've bought decorations all over the world. And I have decorations on the main tree that were my husband's when he was a child. There's a history in all of the trees. It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And the other thing I have, I heard you talking about, I have my grandfather's, 12 of them, cards that he sent from France in the First World War.
Wow, that's special.
That is special. Yeah. And I have them framed, but you can actually lift up the little lace flaps and his handwriting is inside. They're beautiful.
Wow.
And my trees are magnificent. And my decorations, gorgeous. So I hope everybody else will get their tree up and have a very Merry Christmas.
I bet they're all themed, aren't they?
Of course.
I kind of want to see them. I kind of want to see them. Where in Auckland do you live?
Glory.
Or you could send a photo, you creepy stalker.
Well, no. But I feel like if you're going to go into a house with 10 Christmas trees, a photo's not going to do it justice.
You are most welcome to come and have a look at them, but I won't say it over the air.
No, right. Don't say it over the air.
No, I'll put you back to Andrew. I'm tempted. Are you not tempted to see it? It'd be the house that Christmas built.
So I'm uncomfortable about Christmas stuff happening before December at all. I can almost cope with it after November 25th. You're only a month away. As I've already mentioned on several podcasts already, I've been excused from a lot of Christmas goings on this year because we're going to be away. No point having a tree if you're not actually going to be unwrapping presents under it. Anyway, Marcus had this announcement for his listeners last night. It was very helpful.
ZB and Alexandra will be off air for up to 90 minutes between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. This is for maintenance. I got no idea where the transmitter is. Would it be up by the giant clock? Perhaps. Perhaps that's where it is. For those that don't know about the giant clock in Alexandra, that to me would be the greatest achievement by any Rotarian, or what's the other one? Lions group in New Zealand anywhere. It's fantastic. To build a massive clock on the hillside, just love it. Always keeps going. Goes and goes and goes. And you never wonder, and Alex, what time it is. You might wonder if it's Alexandra or Alexander. I always get confused, but you never are confused about what time it is. So well done to the Lions or the Rotary that put that together. Love it. What a tremendous town.
So I wonder if they should have just perhaps put the name of the town under the clock as well, just so, to avoid any confusion as to whether it's Alexander or Alexandra. And sort that out. Do we know have the technology now to just put the time in the sky? And then everybody knows what it is, not just the people in Alexandra. I'm Glenn ZB. Some funny stuff goes on in the world, eh? That has been News Talk ZB. We'll be back with more funny stuff again tomorrow. Not all of it, because there's just too much to cover in one podcast, unfortunately.